This is Brady Davis from Redbird Football, and you're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZMB.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. A beautiful Thursday night. I wouldn't say beautiful. We got some clouds, but it's sweater weather. It's fall. Flannel season. It's here.
Hector, this is the best kind of weather.
No, almost, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's like the mid-60s, like, you know, 65.
And you heard him already. I'm joined by the always amazing Scott Rizzala on the boards and my beautiful co-host with a phenomenal singing voice, Joey Foster Dwyer.
You're too good. You're too good to me right now.
Hey, I treat my people good. I treat my people good.
We're taking it easy. This is a very low, like our past, for the people who tune in every week, you'll know that we had two interviews. We had Jack Hansey, Joel Dunn for 2 weeks ago. We had Katie Weimer, Skirch, and Crosley Duckman last week. So this is like a nice little break. We're just going to get to talk some sports with the boys. I'm pumped. I don't know about you guys.
I'm ready for it. We don't have the cameras set up. It was nice and easy prep. You know, no one was stressed out. There's no interviews. It's going to be a fun hour.
And it's a good, like, change of pace. Because
right.
It's like you come in and, like, you get – and the interviews are great. Like, we love having the athletes here. But now it's kind of gives us the time to sit down and, like, just have, like, a one-on-one talk, like, you know, us and the listeners and kind of tell them a little bit about ISU sports that you wouldn't really hear on, like, those kind of shows.
Yeah.
It gives them a good idea of what we're actually like when we sit in the newsroom and we just yell at each other about sports for all day.
Because that's honestly all we do. It's like we,
yeah,
we come down here. Like sometimes I have work to do.
But
even then, it's like I get sidetracked just participating in the debates. It's literally every day.
Absolutely. And how's your guys' day going?
That's
How's
good.
Your
hey,
Thursday going?
Happy 103 day to both of you guys. Happy 103 day
so
to all
much.
The listeners.
We're all repping. We're all repping our 103.3 WZND right now. My boy Jose's walking by. He's got his 103.3 on. We're all repping it. It was a great day. We gave away so many prizes. We got somebody some tickets to that AJR show that we're going to. I mean, me and Scott, maybe Hector, we don't know yet.
Yeah, we're still
Who knows?
Trying to get Hector.
Who knows?
We're trying to get Hector to go. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's a lot of good stuff, but yeah, end of the week, I'm living for it.
And 103 Day, because this is the first time what 103 Day became a thing today. It's October 3rd. Everyone knows we're 103.3 WZND, so it's a little play on October 3rd, but it's 103 Day. We gave away 103 prizes today. I don't think that's a lot of prizes.
No, yeah, we were walking through the quad and all I saw was like WZND shirts and people handing out stuff. That is a ton of prizes. I don't think, have we ever, like you said, have we ever even give out 103 prizes?
No, I mean, we have giveaways all the time. Like there's multiple giveaways throughout the year.
But there were some good ones.
Yeah, no, we gave away, like Joey said, tickets to the fall concert. There was two Yetis given away, gave away some gift cards, and a lot of free movie tickets.
Which is big, because we're all going to see Joker tonight, so I could use a free movie ticket right now.
A lot of free stuff. And all you really had to do was you just got to follow us on social media at WZND. You can follow our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram. All you got to do is follow our social media accounts. We update those constantly on when we're doing giveaways, what kind of prizes we're giving away. So just hit us with a follow. Follow at WZND. Follow at WZND Sports while you're at it, because why not? That's where you hear the news from the Red Zone. That's where you get the live tweets from all the games we broadcast. Just hit us up on social media and, you know, kind of stay in the loop with all the giveaways we do, because they're good giveaways. We give away a lot of stuff. We like giving away free things. We like kind of giving back to our listeners.
No, absolutely. And it's such an awesome thing. And with all the stuff that we gave out today, I mean, it's definitely a good day.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. It was a good day. It's gonna be a great hour though. So I think we've done enough talking. I think the listeners might actually want to hear us talk about sports at least a little bit. So let's do that. Actually, we're gonna open things up with high school football this week. If you don't remember last week, we had a little trial run of something Joey came up with and he knocked it out of the park. So we're just gonna do that right now again.
It's time for Thursday Night Lights. We start where we always do, close to home. The U-High Pioneers took their first win of the year last week against Lanphier. 29-26, they now head south to Springfield to take on the struggling Southeast Spartans. Out west we go now to Normal West, where the Wildcats outshot the explosive Peoria offense to 30 spot the Lions. Final score 63-33. This week they pack the bus and rumble out to Indy to face off against the 5-1 Indianapolis Bishop Chattered Trojans. That's going to be a good one. Now we come back home for the marquee matchup this Friday. Scotty, put their name up in lights! the Four Wind Normal Community Knights play host to the rumbling, tumbling, no fumbling Purple Raiders from Bloomington. The Knights are coming off a 36-6 win against Manual, and the Purple Raiders took care of Urbana 58-6.
All right, Joey's going to be off of the show in a couple of weeks because that is just amazing. They're going to take us away from him.
They're going to come grab him.
They're going to take him from us.
This mic is so hot. I was sitting like 3 feet away.
Listen, and it's such a great way to break into high school football because, I mean, they play tomorrow, and if any of them are listening to it right now, if I'm a player and I'm listening to that, I'm fired up already.
Oh, yeah. I'm smacking my head against some lockers right now.
I could barely contain myself here in the studio, but let's talk about some high school football. Last week's game of the week, Joey said it, was Normal Community at Peoria, and going into that game, Peoria had probably the most, like, just the best, the most high-power defense by far in the Big 12.
Oh, yeah. Their point differential was insane. Like, they were putting up, like, 70-20 on these teams. But then Normal West Wildcats walked in, and they just walked all over them. And we were talking to Steve Cease about this today. And it was like, he said this is Peoria every year. They have this super high-powered offense. But as soon as they hit a team that can match them, it's over. And we every time we talk about Normal West, we always talk about how good Carson Camp is. And he was just electric against the Lions. He put up so – he was insane. The whole offense was so good. 63 points, that's nuts.
And that's, we talked about it last week. We got to talk to head coach Fincham. And he was big on Carson Camp. We all know Carson Camp committed to South Dakota. He's a Division I talent. Went in, and he outscored the most power, like the highest power defense in the conference. So that just shows you, really, it doesn't even show you what his ceiling is at this point because he's still in high school and he's putting up these kind of numbers. Who knows what the future holds for him?
And it kind of brings me to this point where when you have a quarterback of that caliber, I mean, you have to be 4-1. I mean, they had kind of a hard loss this season, but they bounced back. They're 4-1. They're coming to a team that's 3-2. I mean, what do you guys think? What are your projections for this week? Do you think he gets it done?
Yeah, I think he gets it done. They're in Indianapolis, right?
It's tough. I was doing a little research on this Indianapolis Bishop Chattered team. Which is that's a mouthful to say, boys, I'll tell you. But they're good. They're 5-1, and all those Indianapolis teams are really, really good. So this is going to be a big challenge for them. And we've seen a couple teams. We saw Normal Community go up to Michigan, and we'll touch on that a little later. But we're seeing a lot of these teams kind of go out and like play these super far away but really, really good teams. And I think it's a really good way to get yourself prepared for conference play.
Yeah, no, it just kind of shows you. I mean, it's kind of a measurement of how good, not necessarily how good you are that season, but how good your program has been in seasons leading up to that. The fact that teams from other states, and we'll talk about Lapeer coming up in a little bit, but Lapeer, Normal Community went to Lapeer, Michigan, played Lapeer. Lapeer is one of the best schools in Michigan. I believe they might have won state either last year or the year before. So the fact that we have these local schools traveling out of state, you know, that just shows how good they can be.
And that's the thing. I'm from the northwest suburbs of Chicago, and our high school never traveled like this to play other schools. And I think it's a must. Like, you have to, because you have to prepare these kids for college. Whether it's D1, D2, D3, you're going to be traveling. You're going to be playing games on the road. And it's a good way to prepare, like I said, these young players, these young athletes that are going to take their talents to the next level to, you know, play at this level and play it, like, under these conditions.
So we have Normal West out in Indianapolis, but the game of the week this week, right down the road, we have Bloomington. Bloomington's coming into this week with a record of 3-2. They're at Normal Community, so Normal Community 4-1 on the year. They have the home field advantage against Bloomington, and we talked about it earlier. We'll start with Normal Community. It's been a weird couple weeks for them. Like we said earlier, they were in Lapeer, and it really didn't go well for them in Lapeer.
No, but that's what we were talking about. You mentioned Lapeer is one of the best schools in Michigan. Michigan, huge football culture up there. And it's a good way to get yourself ready because now you're looking at, if you're Normal Community, you're looking at Bloomington this week and you're like, okay, this is cookies compared to who we just played, right? Like, we just had our toughest test of the season. Now we're coming in, we're ready. Whereas Bloomington is coming off of a team in Urbana who hasn't won a game in seemingly decades. They have a very storied history of losing. And so that may play a factor, as in who's more prepared for this game. Because this, we were talking about it before the show, this game between Bloomington and Normal Community has huge divisional implications.
Yeah, so Normal Community went into that Lapeer game 3-0. They dropped that game to Lapeer 42-8. They rebounded the next week playing Manual. They took that one 31-6. Myself and Leo Stoddeher, our high school football beat reporter here at WZND, got a chance to go out to Normal Community's practice yesterday and talk to head coach Jason Drengwitz. And we asked him, how's this team feeling? You had that tough showing in Lapeer, but you came back and really put on a show against Manual. So how's his team feeling going into a huge, probably their biggest rivalry matchup of the year? And here's what he had to say to us.
I think we're handling it emotionally well. I think there's definitely an air of excitement when you get ready to play your crosstown rivals, just like we play Normal West, just because this is the game for both teams that they grew up going to when they're little, and it's the game they dream of playing when they put on the orange and black or they put on the purple and gold. Right. It's the game they want to play in.
So he said it right there. This is the game they want to play in. You know, these kids, they've most of them have probably lived in the area their entire lives. They knew what high school they were going to. They know what these rivalries mean. So these guys, not only on Normal Community, but on Bloomington's team, they know what is kind of at stake here on Friday when they play each other.
And any sport, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, when you're playing a rivalry sport like that, I mean, it's, you have that adrenaline going. You want to win these games. So kind of touching up on what you just said there, Hector, is it is a big game for these players. But not only is it a big game, it's also another game. So they have to go in there with the same mentality and play the same way like they did the other five games.
And it's going to be an interesting game to watch, because one of the things that Bloomington has really done well this year is their offense has really been firing. They've got a huge points for, but their points against is also pretty high. So they're a team where they like to be in that shootout scenario, whereas Normal Community really likes to control from the defensive side of the ball. And so it's an interesting matchup because it's two teams that play very different styles. And so it's going to be a fight to who can get their style of play to prevail a little bit more.
And when we were talking to head coach Drengwitz, you know, he knows that defensively his team doesn't have many holes. He knows defensively they're a very solid team, but it's the offense that really needs to show up against his Bloomington team. So we talked about what the offense needs to do, and here's what he had to say to us about what his team needs to do going into this week.
Well, we need to be able to, number one, stay on the field and put drives together and stack first down so we can tempo. Number two, we got to find a way to make some big plays, chunk some plays together, be explosive, while at the same time not ever doing anything silly that puts our defense in a bad position, because they're definitely the strength of our team. And if we can take care of the ball and score when we get opportunities and not put them with their backs against the wall, I think that's a good recipe for playing well.
And we said it already, he just reiterated it, the defense is the strength of his team. So really what they're riding on, what's going to determine the outcome of this game, is how good his offense can perform.
And I think his offense is going to perform, but defense wins games. I mean, even looking in the NFL, you look at the Bears.
Yeah.
Look at the Chicago Bears. Our offense has not done much, and we're still 3-1. Hoping to make that 4-1 against Oakland this week. But, I mean, defense definitely wins you games.
But when you're going up against a high-powered offense like Bloomington, it's especially high school football can be fickle, where if you have one bad week and you have just a couple holes and you're going up against a really good high-powered offense, those are going to get exploited so hard, especially with a good coaching staff like Bloomington has. And so this game, it's going to come down to who can get out and really assert their dominance first.
And a big week for both of these teams and a lot of other teams within the conference. We see Normal Community, if we take a look at the standings, Normal Community is up at the top. They have a 4-0 conference record. Right underneath them is Normal West and then Bloomington at 3-1. So these three teams sitting atop of the standings, they've played each other already. They can no longer, that record is not no longer going to be affected by one of those other teams. They've played each other already. So the remainder of the season can prove to be huge. For all three of these teams as we look at that traffic jam up there on the standings. So big week here for Bloomington and Normal Community. It's a big week here at ISU too. The Redbirds are taking on the North Dakota State Bison. We'll dive into that after this break. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Barstool Big Cat, and you're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
6:20 on the campus of Illinois State University, and we'll dive right back into the football talk here as the Illinois State Redbirds are inching closer and closer to probably I won't even say probably. It's the biggest game of the year for them.
I don't know about you guys, but I get so excited when football talk, and especially ISU Red Bull or Redbird football talk comes on, excuse me, because they're just so fun to watch this year. And this is going to be an unbelievable game. They're going against North Dakota State University. And guys, kind of explain to the listeners here what North Dakota State's all about.
North Dakota State has they have a very strong winning lineage, right? Like they're ranked number one right now. That's all of FCS, right?
Yeah, all of FCS, and I'd say a winning lineage would be kind of an understatement.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they've won how many like of the FCS championships in a row have they won or something like that? It's something wild.
I don't have the exact number off the top of my head. I know it's like 7 of the last 8 national championships.
Was it like 4? They had a streak of like 4 they, or 5.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They're so good.
They were the only team in all of Division I football to ever win 5 straight national championships. They've taken like 7 of the last 8.
Exactly. And we can look at this team and try to be like, oh, they have a good defense, good offense. But, I mean, they're pretty much sound at every position on this team. Like,
yeah, it's going to be this is going to be a test. But if the Redbirds are number 6 right now. And if the Redbirds can find a way to exploit some hole, I think that would be a huge tell. I think the Redbirds would gain some national respect if they were able to pull this off.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, they come into the game top 10. It's not like they need to earn that national respect. I think this is definitely that statement game because, as we all know, you know, we follow Redbird football. The last couple seasons, this team's gotten out to a hot start. They've been 4-0, 5-0, and then they have that one loss in the middle of the season and can't recover. This is big. They take this game. They tell everyone, we aren't like the teams of previous years. We're here to stay. We're here to make a run at that national championship.
And I know we talked a lot about Brady Davis our first couple shows because he really was struggling in the beginning of the year. He came out last game before the bye week and had a pretty solid game. So I'm hoping we're playing North Dakota State. We're going to need our offense. As good as our defense is, we are going to need our offense to put up some points. And I'm hoping he kind of escalates from his game that he had last week.
And another big thing about a great thing for the Redbirds is we are taking on the Bison at home. And it's no secret that the Redbirds are killer when they play at home. Under Coach Spack overall, it's 50-12 is the total record. At Hancock Stadium since 2013, they're 33-6. So home field advantage is huge. The Redbird faithful show up in big numbers. I know I'm going. I'm tailgating before. I know you boys are going as well. And so I know we're not the only ones. So the fans are going to come out in droves to watch this game and to see if the Redbirds can prove that they really are up there with the upper echelon of FCS teams this year.
And they need – ISU needs their guys to show up. You know, Brady Davis has struggled a little bit this season, and it's well known that he has had his fair share of struggles, excuse me. But looking back to the week before, Redbirds had a bye week last week, which is also pretty big going into such a big game. But 2 weeks ago, they took on Northern Arizona. The Redbirds won that one at home 40-27. We saw Brady Davis kind of show out that game. I believe he threw for 3 touchdowns, so we put on a show in the air, which is big. Because North Dakota State, we all know how good they are. If your quarterback doesn't perform, everyone knows ISU is a running team. Everyone knows James Robinson is going to get the ball. If you don't have a quarterback that can perform, a team like North Dakota State can go all in on stopping the run and do exactly that.
And you look over on the North Dakota State side, Trey Lance is a guy that has a 72% passing rating on the year. So he has been known to sling the ball, but he also is very mobile. The man has over 300 rushing yards on the year in only 4 games, and he's played some pretty solid teams. And we look at who they play. They played UC Davis, Delaware, North Dakota, Butler, and they've beaten these teams by large, large margins. I think a combined of those 4 games, I think they have like 169 points to like 58. So, I mean, they have been beating teams in a dominant fashion.
And they're 4-0 coming into this week. 2 of their 4 wins have come against other teams ranked in the top 25. They beat Delaware on the road. They were in Delaware. I believe Delaware at the time was ranked either 17th or 18th. Then they came to play UC Davis at home. This was back-to-back weeks, too. So it's not like they've had an easy schedule. They played number 18 1 week. Then they played number 4 at UC Davis the next week. So this North Dakota State team isn't just beating other team, like just no-name teams in the Valley or the rest of FCS football. This team is taking on top 25 teams and beating them pretty easily.
And their defense has been extremely stout this year. They're tied in FCS for the fewest touchdowns allowed, and they're seventh in points per game with 13.8. And for a Redbirds team that did have some offensive struggles early this season, that's a big warning flag for Coach Spack, is this defense is so good. And Hector, you were talking about it. If they hold the Redbirds to be one-dimensional, it's going to be over before it even begins.
Yeah, you can't be a one-dimensional football team against a team as good as North Dakota State. But looking into this game, you know, I expect Brady Davis to show up. They're coming off of a bye week. They're well rested, you know. They got extra time to game plan against this team. I don't think Brady Davis will struggle as much as he did prior to that Northern Arizona game. But I think this is a game that'll show whether or not James Robinson is an NFL talent.
The only thing that scares me, and I see James Robinson being an NFL talent, it scares me though because when they do load the box, he's been shut down. We look at that NIU game, first game of the year. He was shut down in that game, and they didn't really throw to him. Although Brady Davis did kind of have a weak game and miss some screen passes, you know, looking off his left shoulder, it's tough. When you have a lockdown running back that gets shut down by an opposing defense, especially a good defense, and your receiving core is dinged up and hurt, you're going to have some problems.
But if you look at that Western Illinois game, the offensive line and the run blocking that James Robinson had was subpar. He didn't have any holes to run through, and I don't think that's a testament to whether or not he's a good running back or not, because unless you're like David Montgomery, you know, who led the FBS in broken tackles last year, if you get hit behind the line of scrimmage by two guys, there's a very small chance you're going to break that for a positive gain.
And I think weather conditions definitely go into it a little bit too. I mean, it was raining. It was a little misty out there. It was cold. It was the first game of the year. You're away.
That's how it's not supposed to be. Very, I don't think temperatures are going to get into the 70s on Saturday. It's supposed to rain too. So if that kind of hindered James Robinson on the ground, it might be tough for him to get things going again this week.
Well, because we look at all the games that he had, these multiple game touchdowns, the weather conditions were pretty good. And I think for any football player out there, obviously you don't want to play in the rain. You want to play in the sun. You want to have...
I mean, I don't know. A rain game's always a good time.
It's definitely a fun time. It's definitely an entertaining time. But being an athlete and playing, it definitely makes things harder.
Yeah, but I mean, James Robinson is an elite FCS back. I don't think that the weather is going to affect his play that much regardless. I just think what it comes down to is, are they able to establish a passing attack to get a balanced offense? Because if you're going run, pass, punt, James Robinson's not going to do anything if the defense is telegraphing that run every single play.
I think it comes down, with any football team, it comes down to the captain of your team. We've said it multiple times today, it comes down to Brady Davis. The defense can be unbelievable. The offense can be even mediocre. It comes down to Brady Davis making his passes, staying composed, and leading this team to a victory.
And that's really what it is, because we talk about James Robinson. You know, he's an elite running back. He's most likely going to perform. He may not go off. He may not put up the James Robinson numbers we saw after the NIU game. But James Robinson is one of probably the top three running backs in FCS. He's tied for the lead with 8 rushing touchdowns. He's second in scoring, and he's in the top 10 for yards per game. He's an elite running back. So really, you guys said it, you nailed it right on the head. This game is going to come down to whether or not Brady Davis performs.
And I think spinning off from that, if we do kind of just dial in for a second on James Robinson, we looked at some running backs that are in the NFL right now. I think of David Johnson when it comes to mind. He played in the Missouri Valley. If we're giving our predictions right now, where do you think, if James Robinson can keep it up, he has a good game this week against a very powerful defense. Scouts are going to be looking at this game. Definitely NFL scouts. Where do you think he gets drafted in the NFL if he gets drafted?
I don't know, because we've watched Brady Davis. I know this is Hector and I's third year. Scott, you've been here, what, this year second?
It's my second year.
And I've watched him, and I go back and forth on this all the time, where he has some weeks where I'm like, man, this guy's a third, maybe even a second round pick. Mm-hmm. Like, he'd be so valuable to a team. But then he has weeks where I'm like, wow, this guy maybe should not even be starting in the FCS.
Oh, and you get stuffed.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's a very, there's a little bit of a consistency issue there. week to week.
But is it him? Is it the offensive line?
And that's
it,
the factors.
Is it the play calling?
That's the factors. I mean, so as a scout, that's the factors you got to look at, you know? But it makes it hard for us to like kind of predict where. Like if you were to get drafted, I wouldn't say early rounds. I'd say probably 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, I think a 5, 6, 7. But you look at all these running backs that get drafted in the 5th, 6th, 7th round.
And they're studs. Yeah, like Phillip Lindsay went undrafted, and he's tearing it up.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's tough to say where he's getting drafted because you don't know how the draft is gonna go. He's for sure gonna be in the NFL. You know, when I think of James Robinson, the way he's been playing, the path he might be on. I think of Devontae Harris. You know, Devontae Harris was a workhorse here. A solid DB here at Illinois State, and we saw him. He went to the NFL. He held his own. You know, he's a legitimately good player. I think of him when I see James Robinson. It's tough to put on, you know, try to guess where they're going to get drafted, but you know they're an NFL talent.
If you had to compare him to an NFL running back, where would you go? I'm thinking like a Royce Freeman.
I think that's fair.
But I think he can catch a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because his receiving ability is pretty solid.
He's a good overall back. He just doesn't have that much speed, I don't know, in terms of it.
So he's like a David
NFL
Montgomery.
Talent.
Yeah, he's like a David Montgomery. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So who knows? It's a big game for the Redbirds. Illinois State taking on the North Dakota State Bison. The Bison are ranked number one. The Redbirds number six. That's on Saturday. Kickoff at noon. You can catch all of the action right here on 103.3 WZND and WZND.com, starting at 11:50. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have some news, and then we'll get right back to the ISU sports. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
And that sounded great, Hector. How about we dive right back into it?
You want to dive right back into it?
I'm ready to dive.
Let's dive right back into it.
All right, we're diving right back into it. It's time for some Redbird volleyball talk because we all know how good this Redbird volleyball team. We saw what they did in the preseason tournament schedule. They put on a show here at Redbird Arena. They opened the season last weekend against Missouri State and Southern Illinois. They won that in straight sets. They played 6 sets that weekend, won all 6 of them, catapulted themselves up to number one in the conference standings. It's early on, but then they had a match Monday against Evansville, and things kind of went south.
They did. They lost that game. They were 2-0 in conference before that. They're 2-1 now. Evansville, I don't want to discredit them, but after the year that we have been having, I mean, we had so much promise when we were sitting at 7-2 with a big win over U of I, a big win over UCF, and then a tough loss to Marquette. It's just you didn't think that you were going to see them at 9-6.
UCF is not, I'll say it for you, UCF is not up to the caliber that of teams that ISU should be losing to. And it was a tough loss for the Redbirds. They went to 5. It was tied 13-13 in the 5th set. Evansville took 2 points in quick fashion. So a really, really tough loss down to the wire. But with the talent on this team, they should have never been in that situation in the first place.
No, yeah. Evansville, definitely not the kind of team that... And, I mean, you can lose to anyone on any given night. But I still don't... I think ISU is too good of a team to even let Evansville take them to 5 sets.
And we haven't mentioned it yet, but Kendall Meyer, we have a big player on our team that is out, and losing Kendall Meyer, that definitely hurts our team. The chemistry and just having a senior player like that out really hurts.
Yeah, Kendall Meyer says, and we're not sure. We actually broke the story. Nick Imparo had a phone call with Leah Johnson, and she let us know that Kendall Meyer, the libero for this Redbird volleyball team, is going to be missing some significant time with an undisclosed injury. They did not disclose the injury, but the time frame they gave us was 6 to 8 weeks. They also said they hope to have her back. The worst case scenario, she'll be back before postseason play, before that MVC tournament. But a huge loss for this Redbird team because, you know, we've all been on broadcasts already for this volleyball team. We know how big of an impact Kendall Meyer plays for this team.
And looking at just the roster and the depth chart, looking at some other players who are likely candidates to step up in that libero spot, Katie Weimerskirch, who we talked to last week, she's listed as a libero, and she's the only one other than Kendall who we saw get significant playing time. So if I had to venture a guess, I'd say that Katie Weimerskirch is probably going to step in into a much bigger role. And for a freshman, the question is now, can she handle it? And we talked to her a little bit last week. She seemed very poised, very professional. And so I don't have a whole lot of worries about that because she seems like she's stepping up into a bigger role very, very well.
And you bring up a freshman. There's another freshman that's actually having a breakout season, Sarah Kushner. She's tied second on the team in kills. She's 143. And, I mean, she's also showing a lot of potential as a key server. I mean, she has 18 service aces. She's leading the team in that as well. So, I mean, she is having an unbelievable season. That's two freshmen on your team with a junior class, three juniors that, no, this team just has so much potential.
No, yeah, and I guess it wasn't an issue. I'd say the main concern for this Redbird volleyball team coming into this season was that youthfulness, was them knowing Leah Johnson knew that, you know, it was going to be a young team. They were probably going to have to rely on some freshmen. Like we said, Sarah Kushner really stepping up. Scott, you said she's it's as if she's not even a freshman, but she's putting on a show out there. Carly Nicholson, not a freshman, but she's so young. She's a sophomore. We've seen a lot out of her. It looks like she's her secondary position. She's listed as a libero. All I've really seen from her is she just comes in to serve. But then we have Katie Weimerskirch. Like I said, the main concern for this team was that youthfulness, and now you're really going to need those freshmen to step up, because if they don't, this season really it might not go anywhere.
And just because they're a freshman doesn't mean that you're lacking some older leadership. You got Sydney Holt, Monica Miller. There are two that come to mind. Steph Jankowicz. Those are three veteran players for you that can really been the leaders as far as players on the roster. Another junior that I forgot to mention in the libero talk, Alyssa Kronberg, mm-hmm. who we have not seen a whole lot of. She is listed as a libero, so this could be an opening for her to kind of find a little more playing time without Kendall in the lineup for the Birds for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
And this is the time. And that's the one thing. You never want to see injuries, but injuries also bring out the time where you can have a breakout player who gets their chance. They're off the bench. They've been watching. They've been waiting for their moment. And this is their young athlete's moment to come out and kind of shine and make a name for themselves.
And all great teams are a next player up, right?
Yeah.
Every
this team is deep.
Yeah, this team is very, very deep. So I don't have any worries that whoever comes in to replace Kendall Meyer will step up into that role with grace, right? But it is a little concerning because just of the impact that Kendall Meyer has on this team.
Yeah, and you Scott, you said time. It made me think of just the timing of the injury itself. This is probably it would have been better, I guess, earlier in the season. But at least we're not halfway through the conference schedule. At least we're not a week away from Missouri Valley Conference play and may hopefully even NCAA tournament play. You know, we're early on in the season. This gives those freshmen, those younger girls, that chance to step up, fill in a big role, because it is a big role that needs to be filled in. That gives them that chance. So, and if they can do it, if they hold their own, and this Redbird team doesn't really miss a step, missing Kendall Meyer, that's just going to be invaluable when you're at the end of the season, because you're going to have a veteran Kendall Meyer coming back, and you're going to have freshmen who have played all year and know what it takes to win a big game.
Yeah, and having a team that is, you're coming off a season that was 25-8.
Yeah.
They're 9-6 now. I think in the beginning of the year when you're 7-2, you think maybe we get an at-large, maybe we get ranked. Now, you know, the tables have kind of turned. You dropped three straight in one weekend. Now you're sitting at 9-6. Now this is the kind of time where you want to build that chemistry back. You want these young players to get that exposure, to get that experience, because now you're looking to win your conference. That's your way into the NCAA tournament. And Leah Johnson, she wants to get there again. This team wants to get there again. They have such a young team that you can kind of keep building and kind of build like a dynasty and have, you know, all these players come in. I mean, that's the thing. When you're an athlete, you want to go to a program that's on the rise. And Illinois State for the past couple years in volleyball has been on the rise, and it's something really exciting. But right now, I think this is where you kind of it's a learning process right now. And towards the end of the season, when you get into conference play, you get into the playoffs, that's when you want your players healthy, and that's when you want to take off.
But that brings up, are these Redbirds in a position where I'm not going to use the term rebuild, but they're in the learning process. They're getting accustomed to winning, or are they in the position where they're still in win now as far as they need to have success because of how good and how deep this roster is. And I think it's both. I think you've got the freshmen who are learning the program, but succeeding at the same time with the veteran players. And it's this kind of like almost like a weird mishmash of the two, but I think it could yield some very positive results as long as they stay on this path and they don't get set back losing to teams like Evansville, right?
Yeah, and you said it brought the thought to my head. I think this Redbird team right now is in a win now attitude. So they're here to win now. But they're also they have a win now attitude with a learning mentality.
Yeah,
I agree to a certain extent. But I also see some inconsistency here.
Yeah,
and
that's what I'm saying.
Because I see a team that's going out and beating good teams. Like when we were, Hector, we were on that call for U of I, and when we looked at each other in the break, and we said you couldn't even tell if you're watching this team and you're just a spectator that doesn't know either team.
You look at two top 25 ranked teams.
But then they go out, they play Marquette, they play Evansville, they play Ohio State.
You lose to Dayton.
And you lose to Dayton. It's like, what is going on? What happened to our team? And that's where that inconsistency level
that's the youth. That's the inexperience that you need to kind of combat if you're Coach Johnson. And I think she's doing a good job of it in terms of – but then losing Kendall Meyer is huge.
Yes, and let's not forget, these are college athletes as well. Like they're student athletes, student first. So I mean, because they are young, they're freshmen and sophomores. I mean, they're on the road, they're playing the games, they have homework. I mean, it's a grind.
It could be a tough life to maintain. It's tough to, because usually you look at college athletics. When you're a freshman, you're going into a program, you're not necessarily guaranteed playing time. Usually, there's older men or older women there that are good and they've made the name for themselves. They work their way up to that playing time. So unless you're a freshman that is, like, out of this world good, freshmen don't usually see that much playing time. That's not the case for this Redbird team. And it's tough. You know, it's tough for some people to be full-time students.
It is. And especially, like, we keep saying their age, and I don't want to keep using that word, but it is. When you're, you know, going to school and you have to, you know, focus on school, these athletes don't get any special treatment. Maybe they get some tutoring. Maybe they get some, like, help.
But that's about it.
But they still have to do the work.
Yeah, you got to turn in the papers. You have the same grading scale.
We all remember
have the same class schedule.
Yeah, it's a big adjustment. And, like, I don't think that's as much of an issue. I just, speaking solely in terms of athletics, I'm very hopeful for this team moving forward because I think they have a lot of potential, but there needs to be some sort of adjustment to address the inconsistencies that we've been talking about.
And I think that, they need to be addressed. And I also think that'll just come with time. Like, we sound like broken records. It's a young team. You know, it's going to come with time. You can't expect them. It's a big injury too. You're losing one of your top three players. If you lose one of your top three players, you're also losing like one of your leaders on the court. So it's just going to take time. Hopefully not too much time. I think it will take a little time for them to really kind of come into their own and just embrace the role that they have to play for this season. Because I don't think any of them are expecting to have to embrace a role as big as filling a hole for Kendall Meyer. I just don't think that these girls could have came into this year ready for that.
And I absolutely agree with you. And I think it's just going to be it's going to be fun to watch. This team is still very fun to watch, and I'm still very excited. They're taking on Bradley. They're going up I-74. They're taking on Bradley. So it'll be – and that, I think, will tell us a lot. It'll be the first game post-Kendall Meyer. That's going to tell us a lot about what to expect from the team this season.
And just one game for this Redbird volleyball team this weekend, like Joey said, they'll be in Peoria on Friday taking on Bradley. That game, first set is set for 6 p.m. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to give our takes on what the Chicago baseball team should be doing this offseason. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Hi, this is Paul DeYoung, former ISU Redbird, current St. Louis Cardinal. You're listening to Red Zone on WZND.
Paul DeYoung bringing us back into the show. He said it, former Redbird. He's still a Redbird. He said it all. Still a Redbird playing for the Cardinals. Cardinals are down 3-1 in the bottom of the seventh of game one of the NLDS. And that'll just kick off what we're going to talk about, because unfortunately, none of us get to watch meaningful baseball in October.
It hurts. And especially having a guy like Joe Maddon be the manager of your team and bring you to four playoff appearances in 5 years and a World Series title. It's weird not watching playoff baseball.
Listen to Joey. Listen to Joey yawn, because when was the last time the Sox were in the playoffs?
Isaac, last time the Sox were in the playoffs?
It's been a while. That's all. But he said it's been a while. That's all
we'd have to hear.
Break out
the newspapers from.
We're not here to attack each other. All right. Neither of us are playing in the playoffs. We don't have much to say. Neither of the teams are good enough to make the playoffs. But the Sox. We'll start off with the Sox.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think the Sox might be super good next year.
Here's what I'll say. Resident Sox fan. Here's what I'll say. We have the best pitcher in Chicago right now. Lucas Giolito. He's an absolute stud. He's an absolute stud.
He's so inconsistent. He's good, but he's...
Scott, you're an absolute clown. Lucas Giolito is so good. Ronaldo Lopez is also a beast. We're going to have Dylan Cease next year turn up. Mikey Kopech coming back from that Tommy John's. He's going to be awesome. We're going to sign Garrett Cole in the offseason. We're going to have the best starting pitching in the MLB.
Can you name the MLB starting pitcher that's actually been good after coming off of Tommy John?
Adam Wainwright, St. Louis Cardinals.
Chris Carpenter, St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't want to be on Joey's side here. Tommy John, literally, like...
It's one of the worst things you can have as a pitcher.
Dude, Tommy John, literally, I know, like, if you're a pitcher in high school that is good enough to get drafted out of high school, I've read stories about people opting to have Tommy John without even needing it because of the benefits of it.
See, and I look at that as in a totally different way, because he's not established. He hasn't been the MLB yet. He's still young. Maybe he bounces back. Maybe it's in his favor. I see him being a bust.
Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, Tommy John. Tommy John, before, like, a pitcher would have Tommy John and you'd be like, oh, God, let's get rid of him. He's never going to be good again. Tommy John is now.
Things are changing.
Now Tommy John is a super beneficial surgery.
I went to high school with a kid who had Tommy John at 14.
Yeah, no, people have Tommy John because of the benefit. You come back from Tommy John throwing harder.
We have some time to see.
All right, but that's not like obviously the Sox need and the Sox need to do something else. Like you said, here's the thing. As a Cub fan, we saw what they did when they were on the verge of becoming that team. Right?
Yeah.
They brought in John Lester.
Exactly, and right? that's Garrett.
The Sox
Cole,
need to do that.
Garrett Cole is the John Lester of right now. He had an incredible season. He's going to be a free agent after this year. The Sox have so much cap room.
Yes, but they
it's
haven't
ridiculous.
Been making any moves. They never
and,
make
no,
any
see, that's no, the thing. That's
off,
the thing.
This offseason
is going to be big. Because last year, the big hunt was for Manny Machado. Didn't get him. I'm not mad about it. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing about not getting Manny Machado. It gave Yoan a chance to shine. And more importantly, it gave Tim Anderson a chance to shine. And Tim Anderson had the best batting average in the entire MLB.
He did. And Jose
Abreu had the most RBIs in the American League. Yoan Moncada had the third highest batting average in the AL.
But you know what they need to do? They need to do that next year.
That's what I'm saying. But
Tim Anderson always starts out hot and then he gets
Scott, here's what happened. He started off hot and then he continued hot for the rest of the season, and that's why he was the batting champion this year.
And here's what I have to say about the situation on the south side of Chicago. This offseason, because I believe they might not say, all right, next year is a year that we officially say, all right, this is a team that we're going all in for or all in with. And if they don't do that, they wasted a year.
Exactly.
I think this offseason tells you whether or not the front office are real about this whole rebuild that they did. Next year is a year that I don't know why I'm blanking out. He's like one of the best baseball players I've ever seen. Luis Robert.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Luis Robert's an
I don't know how
animal.
I forgot his name.
Yeah.
But if he's not up to start the regular season next year, the Sox aren't making the playoffs.
Yeah. All right, so let's transition a little bit. What's going on the north side? Tell me about it, boys.
Let's talk about the good guys.
We got a sticky situation on the north. Not really sticky. It's a weird spot.
Can I address one thing?
Yeah.
Do you think a guy that gets brought into an organization that has not won a World Series in 12 or 13 years?
Yes, Joe Maddon should have been fired.
He brings you to the playoffs four out of the 5 years that he's been there.
Yes. That's what I have to say.
Last game of the year?
Yes.
Where's Joel Quenneville coaching right now?
Panthers, I believe.
All right, that's the end of the, that's the end of a coach bringing you to the promised
but
land.
But this is the first year.
Scotty.
Joe Maddon is the first year he didn't bring us to the playoffs, and he had the worst bullpen probably in the MLB.
Check it out. So Joe Maddon, everybody's giving credit. All you Cubs fans, think about it. Joe Maddon did not assemble that team. Theo Epstein put that team together, and
Joey, the manager never assembles a team. That's what I'm saying.
And so people are saying that, oh, this was Joe Maddon's team. It was Theo Epstein's team that Joe Maddon was just in charge of, right? And then the team fell apart.
You say that about Joel Quenneville. You say that about, and that's hockey,
Joel
but just baseball.
Bring that team together.
Bruce Bochy. Yeah. Terry Francona.
And you're
Joe
Torre. I'm not saying that Joe Maddon is a bad manager, but I'm saying that he just wasn't doing it for the Cubs anymore.
No, yeah, and
like
I
if you look at the
was,
Cubs
it
late
was
in the stretch,
it was all right, yeah.
Yeah, but
it was. I'm upset that he left. I wasn't saying get rid of Joe Maddon though, because ultimately it was just an underperformance.
We definitely
of
wasted
a team
a year.
That should have been super good.
Oh, we wasted a year.
No, for sure. We
have
wasted
so much talent.
And we wasted one of the years and the back end of the window.
Yes, and that's the thing that scares me, is that the Cubs had so much talent, and now we're going to be losing that talent. And last thing we're going to say about it, because I know we got to stop and end the segment, but what about Chris Bryant? Do you think we keep him? Because we can't keep him and Baez. If you were going to name the face of the franchise, are you saying it's Baez, or are you saying it's Chris Bryant?
Face of the franchise right now, I'd say talent-wise and what they've done throughout their career should be Chris Bryant. It's Javi Baez, just because of how flashy of a player he is. But stats-wise, Chris Bryant's an MVP rookie of the year. He should be the face. Javi Baez is the face of the franchise. If they trade Chris Bryant, that's them. If the Cubs trade Chris Bryant, that's a Cubs saying, we're not going all in on a World Series these next 2 years, but we're retooling to make a run within the next five.
And that's just something I don't want to do. I don't want to
And
retool
it might come that. It might. You either keep Chris Bryant or you lose him. You lose him for free because he's leaving as a free agent.
Yeah, and I see that. I think we do lose. I think we trade him. I think Wilson Contreras we keep, and I think we lose Rizzo as well.
It's going to be an interesting offseason for both teams. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll close things out with the pick six. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Outline
it's the pick six. Only on the pulse of Redbird Nation. 103.3 WZND.
Scott, have you found the picks? Do you have them in front of you now?
How about you start off with the picks?
So before the show, Scott asked Hector, he's like, hey, Hector, did you print out an outline?
And
Hector says, no, we're trying to be more paper-friendly
first
in the studio. Scott says, can you please print one out? And then Scott loses
force
it right
me,
before picks.
Force me to print out an outline for him. This is the third time in this hour he's asked what we're talking about next, so he doesn't have his outline in front of him. That's just Scott, though. Let's dive right into pick six, because last week was tough for everyone. Every single person except the guests went 2-4. The guests managed to go 1-5.
Sheesh.
So it's a tough week. We'll look at the standings up top in first place. So three-way tie. Myself, Joey, and Steve. Nothing's changed. Nothing's going to change. Right underneath us, Scott Rosala. He hit 500. He's no longer below 500.
Hey, big ups
and
to Scott.
And that's a big week, because I called that. I said I was going to come up. I said
he
I'm
said
have a big
he
week.
Said he was going to have a 2-4
and we
week. That's what he did. And the guest sitting down there at 9-15. So we'll just jump right into this week. Opening things up. It's hard to talk now. We have Rams in Seattle taking on the Seahawks tonight. Scott, who you taking?
I love me some Seahawks. We're going to go with the Seahawks in game one here.
Russell Wilson's a dog. I'm going Seahawks as well.
Okay, we have Steve Cease taking the Seahawks. And things are a little different this week because we didn't have a guest, but we still have a guest making the picks. We talked about him earlier, Jose Sandoval. News and sports intern, he was sitting in the newsroom. I was like, hey, pick these games for us. These are his picks.
And Jose's going to go with the Rams. So it's a tough pick, but maybe he's doing the guests right this week.
The guests need a big week. Up next, we have Bears. Raiders.
I'm going with the Bears.
Da Bears.
Yeah, Bears. Steve's taking the Bears.
Jose's taking the Bears.
Too easy. After that, the surprise Bills taking on the Titans.
I don't know how Josh Allen's doing, so I'm going to have to go with the Titans.
And see, Scott, this is what happens when you have your outline in front of you. You can do a little research. Josh Allen's expected to play. I went with the Bills, and Jose is going to go with the Bills as well.
Okay, you see, I didn't do research. Didn't need to do research because the Titans are going to win regardless of how much research I did. Steve Cease also taking the Titans. After that, Colts, Chiefs. Scott, who do you got?
Love the Colts, but It's the Chiefs, and Alex Mahomes got to go Chiefs.
Yeah, it's going to be Chiefs. Jose is going to go Chiefs as well.
Steve's going Chiefs. I'm going Chiefs. Win or lose, no one's going to suffer from that pick. After that, Jaguars, Panthers, Scott.
Well, Leonard Fournette just ran for 256 yards last week. He's going to do it again, Jaguars.
Yeah, and aside from Leonard Fournette, Gardner Minshew, maybe the most fun player in the league. His pass percentage after this last week was 69.420%. That's legendary numbers right there.
Especially for him. It just
fits.
It just fits. Tells you who Gardner Minshew is.
It
just
fits.
Just those numbers there.
And so I'm going Jags, and Jose is going to go Jags as well.
Steve's going Panthers. Don't know about that. I'm going Jags. Final game here, Sunday Night Football. The Green Bay Packers in Dallas taking on America's team.
I went with the Packers once and lost. We're going with the Cowboys.
Scott, I'm glad you're learning from your mistakes. You'd do the Bears a disservice by picking the Packers. We're going Cowboys, me and Jose both.
Steve's going Cowboys, and I'm playing the game right here because everyone went Cowboys.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
taking the Packers. Give me that free win.
All right,
give me that one game up in the standings.
Nah, give me that first place. I'll take first place by myself.
Listen to him. That's the end of our show. Sadly, the end of our show. What an hour it was. You know, we did things a little different this week. There was no guests. It was just the boys. It was myself, Scott, and Joey.
And it was a good show. I liked the format a lot. I think we had a lot to talk about, and I'm glad we got it out.
Yeah, I hope you guys liked it as well. If you did, make sure you tweet at us, at WZND Sports, because we love to get some feedback. Like to know what you like, what you don't like. And if you want Scott off the show, we've tried. It doesn't work.
Well,
so
we'll make a poll. We'll see what results we got.
Should Scott have the outline in front of him, yes or no?
He should always have it. It'll be in front of him, but he'll lose it.
See, the outline, I didn't lose the outline. The outline was right here. I just
the
had
outline
some papers
lost.
He, just,
other
he
stuff
didn't
going
lose
on.
It. He slightly misplaced it.
The outline lost him. If you missed any part of today's show, if you didn't get to tune in, you can listen to the entire show on WZND.com. That'll be up shortly. Quick thank you to Scott on the board, doing an amazing job. Joey, as always, one of the greatest co-hosts I could have ever asked for. That's been The Red Zone. Thank you for listening.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone, again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.